Welcome to Identity Church Sunday morning message, where sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
The power of agreement is the title of this message. We heard it in the prayer room. We heard it in worship. I mean, she was over there going, we agree, we agree, we agree. Everything, and it's... There's something this morning that the Holy Spirit is doing. I think he's highlighting our need one for another. In the highlight of our need one for another, there needs to be agreement. All right, we can go home. And the first scripture I want to talk is Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. Miss Susie Q. If two of you shall agree... Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father, which is in heaven. In other words, I can sit here and pray all I want, but sometimes I may need Dan's agreement. One can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. Listen, the power of agreement is this. Number one, first and foremost, do you and God agree? That has to be the first agreement. But there's something about the second, this earth level of agreement that makes heaven come into agreement and give you what you asked. You have not because you... But are you asking in agreement with him and them? Look at that scripture. It will be done for them. This individualism has got to die. This individualism has to die because he's trying to raise up a bride, a body that looks and smells and walks and talks in the image of Christ, who we were formed and fashioned after, and he wasn't in disagreement with himself. His mind, his spirit, and his body were all in agreement with the Father. So they were a them. Jesus was a them. And I believe he's, by the Holy Spirit, he's trying to make us a them. So we have to come into agreement. And it's interesting. The Greek word for agree is in this verse S-U-M-P-H-O-N-E-O. It means to agree together, to make a bargain, or come into an agreement. It is also the Greek word that we use for symphony. A symphony orchestra combines many diverse instruments under the direction of a skilled conductor. Who's the conductor? And produces a beautiful musical masterpiece that it impacts and extend way beyond an individual and his one instrument. He's doing something. Listen, I feel like we've kind of gone through a little pruning here in our church. And at first I start getting, what did I do? What did I do wrong? And then I start judging myself. Then I start judging those that left. and agreement. I went and pulled this. This is my first Bible. This Bible right here I bought with the money of closing a slush fund because I was going to divorce my wife and I was hiding money. And God's like, I told you I'm going to heal your marriage. And I want you, and I took most of the money out, still had a little bit of money in that account. And the Lord says, I want you to go buy a Bible. I said, which one? He saw, point to it. You got to realize I didn't read. I read it at second or third grade level. So God said he'd teach me to read because the Holy Spirit was a teacher. So he says, take that checking account, go down to Wings of Joy Bible bookstore. I'll point to it. I want you to write the check, the checkbook down to zero and pay any additional with cash and close that account. And he said, that Bible right there, King James. I don't read. King James, giant print, red letter edition, no commentary. And Bibles have no tax. It was to the penny what was in that account. So this is kind of personal. Why didn't I get one with commentary? Because he said, I'm the author. If you have any questions, I'll answer them. This is personal to me. And by the way, it is wore out. I got notes in here. This would be interesting. Somebody already want to know my beginning. I write things like, he who speaks cheaply proves he has never paid the price. If you're the devil, you get to judge like a devil. If you are of the devil, if you're the devil's, you get to judge like a devil. But if you're a child of God, Jesus paid the price for your judgments. I wrote things like this. And the reason I dug that Bible up is today's message is agreement. And in my innocence and my childlikeness, as he taught me to read, I came into a fact that if his word said it, I was going to agree with it. I chose to come into agreement with the word of God. And when I came into where that was my centerpiece and my focus, that I would agree with the word of God, who's going to change? Me or the word? And I started changing at a very quick rate in my early walk with the Lord because I came into agreement with him first and foremost. Now, you got to realize, I was in the middle of a divorce at the time. You better figure out who you're going to agree with. Some of you have been agreeing with your spouse and you disagreeing with God. That was a good word. The Susie Coker that I'm married to today was not the Susie Coker that I was trying to recover a marriage from. She was still angry and mad. She still had God in her. But she can hear God, and she corrects me now. Back then, she was trying to kill me. So I had to have agreement with God, because if I agreed with her, we wouldn't be here today. The Old Testament word of agreement is I decide to agree, like a contract being enforced. But after the cross, the New Testament, it's like, okay, I get to do my part of this project, this orchestra, to make it better than if I wasn't here. And I get to choose to agree. I don't have to agree. The old was you had to agree. But let me tell you something about agreement in the Old Testament. The agreement with the Old Testament was it was them and us. The New Testament, now it's us. We just haven't won them yet. So when I come into agreement with him, it's just a matter of time before love covers a multitude of sin, and your sin gets covered enough to find out that he loved you, and then we'll come into agreement of who you really are. Got to give it a little more time and a little more grace. You know, I was talking about to the Lord about grace. My wife's middle name is Grace. My mother's middle name was Grace. Her mom's name was Grace. My son was married to Kelly Grace. I'm like, my Lord, there's a lot of grace around me. He goes, and needed. and needed. We have agreement. But this last week in ministry, something has happened. I wanted to pick on Ron Colbert this morning, but he's sick. What a punk. When Ron and I and Brian Higbee and Eddie and another guy from Texas went to Louisiana a year or so ago, you've heard us talk about there was an agreement with five strong prophets that we ministered at such a high level, five of us. You know, two agreeing is difficult. Five is God. But we had a situation that we disagreed on protocol, and we were all at the hotel, and Brian Higbee kind of stood up and said, let me do a little pushback here. And I had to submit, Culver had to submit, Eddie was like, I don't care. But there was a pushback, and there was a choice to come into agreement. It changed the course of that ministry weekend. What am I saying? Where agreement ends, submission must start. Did you hear me? When the agreement ends, submission must start. So I'm the senior leader here. I have to communicate to my elders so we can come into agreement. You know, we did something a couple years ago. When I was at Aruba, God said, I want you to change the structure of your church. We had associate pastor. We had this. We had fivefold ministry was leading the government of our church. That is not. We are a elder-run church now. That is the governmental structure. Therefore, the fivefold becomes gifts to the body. But we had to break an old system to come into an agreement, and our elder teams, listen, I did not have a leadership meeting in the year 2018. I met with my elders because we had to come into agreement on how we're going to govern in relationship and responsibilities. I'll tell you who disagreed with me the most over that decision, Brian Higbee. He challenged me. He got mad at me. He pushed back with me. He quoted me scriptures. And I'm like, I don't give a flip what you think. The problem is he's one of our overseers. And I had enough pushback with him. We'll wait and see. And I said to him, I hope you're listening, Brian. Well, the reason you can't do it is because you're a control freak. That went over well. But when he was here a few weeks ago, he has, and we spent some time in Texas together, he's amazed of the foundational relationship structure of agreement my elders have in this church. It's obvious. God showed him prophetically our church. I mean, okay, we're small in number. He said, dude, you put something together in the last 2 years. And now he's going, how do I do that? I'm like, all right, put your head down. Let me get the knife. I'll take care of that for you. Because when Christ isn't the head, you need to lose yours. Why elders? Because we're a kingdom-focused body, correct? We believe that we're supposed to bring heaven to earth. And the problem is a lot of people only read their Bible and look at the earth realm and never understand that you need to go know what is in heaven so you can bring it to earth. And you are the gateway. When you're in the heavenly realms in scripture and in spirit, and I do visit the heavens once in a while, probably not as much as I should, you never find prophets and apostles in heaven. You find people that were prophets, who that were apostles and pastors and all that, but in heaven they're elders. So the elder position is the one position that is both heaven-bound and earth-bound. And that's why we've structured the government of the house to be, and you, elders to come into agreement. Now, there's times we have had to discuss stuff because we don't agree on it. But what we always come to is the agreement is, what is the purpose? And someone may disagree on actually how to do something, but as long as we're in agreement on why we're doing it, the motive is right, then it gets filled in. And we're about to see some things get filled in here, because we in the elder team here, we are in agreement. And listen, we're under pressure to divert back and let's do another, you know, concert to raise some money. Let's do, you know, you got all these things that you used to do. And God's going, no, we're going to do this. So why am I preaching that? Well, how's your marriage run? Agreement? Really? You should have been in my house a couple weeks ago. She didn't. Well, you should have been there yesterday. We're finishing. Our pool's getting almost done, and we've got some landscaping. I've come to agreement. I ain't doing no more landscaping. We're meeting a guy today. He's going to do the landscape. I ain't doing this no more. I have come into that agreement. And she's like, well, I shouldn't have listened to you, because we had these pavers. And so she went to save a bunch of pavers, and she put them in a place where I told her to, and she disagreed with me. And now that I looked at them, I'm like, man, that we shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't agree with you. I didn't want to do that. Well, you should have done what you wanted to do. Okay, you say it's not a big deal, but when there's a disagreement and not an agreement, you can damage a relationship. This is something that divides. When you divide agreement, you have disagreement. When you have disagreement, listen, the assignment changes. It's like vision. We're supposed to have vision, but when we have die in front of it, you have die vision, you have two visions. When you have two visions, then you have no vision. A house divided cannot stand. That's why agreement has got to be our pursuit. And where you can't agree, you come, when agreement ends, submission begins. That's in church, that's in church government, that's in marriage, that's in the marriage, the government of the house, that's between parents and children. I'm just serious about it. So I'm on the third airplane, heading to Lubbock. Yeah. And they keep getting smaller every time. So I sit in my seat next to the window. This little thank you, God, for skinny women sits next to me, because their one wasn't that skinny on the other flight. I was like, wow, help me, Jesus. But she was quite petite. And I said, the Lord reminds me, he says, hey, you know, I heard your prayer this morning that they invited you to be a prophet, and you feel insecure, you feel unqualified, and you're wondering if I'm going to show up. I agree. That's been my prayer. He says, you are a prophet. You can hear me. Tell this lady that. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to talk to her. And he says, consider it a warm-up. So I just look at her. I says, you know, you have to be sent to the desert before you're ever sent by God for your real assignment. I said, you've been in the desert for the last 3 years. You haven't been to church, and God's happy with you. Had a church split. She left the church. And God had her in the desert. Been there 3 years. Hadn't been involved with church. I said, yeah, it's called detox. You've been in detox, sweetie. So we start talking, and she wrote a book and I wrote a book and we're switching books and I just ministered to her. I mean, it was really encouraging and uplifting to the point where Ron and Stephanie, I mean, she emailed me. She wanted my contact. It was warm up. And I'm like, wow, God, that was fun. That was good. That was really good. And this week, because I'm stepping back into the prophet role. And see, the prophet role, without understanding, can be a little messy sometimes and scary. And I really don't want to make some of the mistakes I made 20 years ago. And my accuracy has never been questioned. It's my attitude. Okay? And so I'm really trying to adjust this. And let me tell you something about prophecy. First and foremost, it needs to be encouraging. Okay? I understand the corrective side. That's the prophet in me, and I have no problem bringing that. And God has given me a grace to do that sometimes. So I'm going back to original agreement. He called me as a prophet. And first and foremost, the agreement is, if that's the call on my life, let me research it. And you'll find in that Bible, prophets are the friend of God. And I wrote, if I'm supposed to be the friend of God, and as a prophet, I should be friendly. Now, I'm going back and reading this 25 years later and realize there's some non-friendly things about me. Even though I am the friend of God, but is it the God on the throne of judgment that judged Jesus and put all that on him? And I think that wasn't finished. See, I understand Old Testament because I can kill you in a heartbeat. But there's a grace on me to understand it. On this side of the cross, the judgment's already been done. So I made a conscious agreement with God. Okay, I can wear the prophet's hat. I went to this meeting, me and Higby, we flowed like a hand in a glove together. We were in such unity prophetically. And then Walter Boston was there. He's part of their group, but he's definitely a prophet. And we flowed. And Randy Boyd, the head of the apostle over, and his pastor, which is a huge church, Church on the Rock in Lubbock, multiple campuses in the top 50 growing churches in America for the last 5 years. And he's 66. They did an interview because of his age. All the other 49 below are in their 30s. And here he's 66 and he's growing. What's the key? Father, son, paradigm, and love people. And he's their board member. He was there. And it's interesting on the prophetic stuff I had, he had. So the validation was there. The synergy and the agreement of the Spirit was there. And Higby and I have come to the same realization that because of relationship and our willingness to walk together and make sure we agree, even when we don't agree, we agree to disagree until we figure out who's got it right. Higby and I have wrestled. We quit wrestling on the structure of this church when he came here and God showed it to him. And now he's like, what do I do? I'm like, that's your problem. It's been hell for 2 years getting here. I want to eat the fruit of it now. Okay, but I believe that the agreement is a key. And him and I have come to agreement that something supernatural happens when we function into other ministries called to be prophets. To the point where his wife's going to make t-shirts and she said, do I want my name first or his? I don't know. You know, but it is that the symphony, the lack of competition goes away. There's no competition when you're in agreement. The agreement is we've been given a task. We've been asked to come bring the word of the Lord, even bring new concepts and even correction. We were given an open book What is God saying? And you take that very seriously. And we came into agreement. If I had it, he had it. We yielded one to another. And we yielded to the people there. And then the little perks, the prophetic perks that ministered to me the most was a word of knowledge. A picture of this lady rubbing linseed oil into a catcher's mitt to loosen up the leather. And I said, I don't know what this means, but it's I linseed oil. I said, what is your name? She goes, Lindsay. And it was about her kids, about you're not going to lose your kids. They're going to catch the kingdom because you've oiled them. Ministering to another of the team members about innocence. You know me and my innocence story. And I said, listen, you know how I got this? I said, Susie looked over her shoulder and she says, thank you for taking me snowmobiling. Isn't it good being on the other side of bankruptcy? Because that's what they're going through. But I was on the phone last night with Brian because I have a problem when I operate in the high levels of the prophetic in another ministry and they're successful across the board, but they still needed the prophets. And we show up and on the end of his PowerPoint of why we're here this few days, he has something about supply. And I have this encounter with the angel of supply and I'm supposed to assign him as a staff member. And I do all this stuff. I mean, listen, when I did, I know I'm a prophet. When I did, he showed up in the room. Everybody's like, ooh, it was tangible. So I'm bellyaching Higby last night. How come we can function at the level we did there? And I can't get that stinking angel to come here. How come I can declare the angel supply to go and supply their financial needs, their wisdom needs, how come I, as a prophet, I can declare, but I can't even get some of that here? He said, they've been in agreement longer than you have. That ministry's been in agreement longer than your ministry has. That's why I'm preaching on agreement today. Because I want God to tell me, hey, that angel you've been assigning to these ministries, he's now yours. How are we going to afford the nest with a very expensive budget? And it's not about a big conference to draw the people. It's not. It's about us becoming family. Yes. It's about you knowing who the Higbys are and who Eddie and Deborah is and Papa Jack. And as we're going to serve our butts off, but it's about knowing our family that we're connected to. The reason they had me and Brian come in is that we're Papa Jack's kids and they wanted prophet. They know prophets. Yes. God says you bring the prophets within the family. That's why we were invited. We debriefed and like, man, God's changed you in the last 8 years, Charlie. Because 8 years ago, you scared the living daylights out of me. But there's a papa in you. There's a love. There's a grace in you that we didn't see. And Papa Jack, he was there and he's like, yeah, that I kind of like that tender side of him. I'm not an orphan anymore. I'm matured in those areas. But have I had enough agreement here to start prophetically declaring and decreeing the angel of supply, the angel of healing? I've seen it in the house. There's an angel with a pitcher of oil that has graphite in the oil. Remember that? Remember that? Angel of healing? Well, I need him to bring an army with him. It's time to bring the army. Supply is actually a ruler level angel. He has multiple assignments with him. Bring it on. But he, supply's not coming unless we're into it in enough agreement. Why would God send supply if we're going to squander what he sends us? Healing. I've seen this angel of healing with his pitcher of oil before, several times in this church, but he visits. He doesn't live here yet. I'm tired of visitation of Uncle Freddy. Some Uncle Freddy angel shows up and it's a good meeting, but it hasn't become our DNA yet. Agreement. We, in this church, we need to come into agreement. In areas we disagree, we need to talk it out, communicate. This week, I had an assignment for Ron to do. I want you to do this and this and this and this and this and this. Okay. And I knew what I said. The problem is he didn't know what I said. And so I'm like, hey, did you do that? Yes, I did that. That isn't what I asked. He's like, really? Do this and this and that. And he goes, I hate you. I'm like, no, you don't. And I'm saying that for this. What was the issue? It's communication. An assumption that you heard. We're going to have to spend some more time with each other and maybe quit listening to our words, but find out the heart. We get hung up on words and don't look at motive. Because if the motive is right, the words will eventually come into alignment. So I'm this new, improved prophet. And I'm praying Thursday, and boom, a daughter of a prophet I used to submit to drops in my heart. And God says, here, I want you to send her a private message and encourage her. And it was beautiful. It was really good. And God showed me her from his view. I have a decent view of her, but he had a better view of her. It went from good to godly, and I sent it to her, and I get this, oh my gosh, you wrecked me. Then her dad sends me a text. Thank you so much for loving my kids, and blah, blah. I'm thinking, I don't want to be back in a relationship with this guy. I really don't want to be back in relationship with this guy because we haven't agreed on anything. For years, we don't agree. And I'm on this agreement thing. But the real prophetic, real encouragement heals relationships. And his heart opened to me because I loved his kid. So when we start come into agreement with God, encouraging his people, then it affects other people. We better have the ministry of reconciliation if we want to see this thing continue. But God, this person used to be in my ministry, and now he's here. This person, so I go my list. He said, okay, let's get critical, Chuck. The condition that person was in when he came here. Yeah. Is he better when he left? Yes. Good boy. This person, what condition were they in when they came into a relationship? Where are they at now? There's not a one of them that I can technically look at that they left relationship with me worse than when they came. Everybody has gotten over some hurdles, over some humps, and found a dimension with God. And he says to me, what you think makes you feel unsuccessful, I believe is very successful. And I'm like, wow, I didn't look at it that way. Yeah, because you're not looking at it from my perspective. Not everybody's going to come and stay in relationship with Identity Church forever. Some come just to get over a hurdle. You got Big Anthony, who's preaching in the prison today. Went through a whole crisis, and God fixed something between him and the leader. And in a situation, he says, "Hey, I need you." Okay, but he heard God say, "Be prepared." Be prepared for what? I think this guy's going to whack me, kill me. No, he's going to need you. Be prepared. You know, Brad Gilman's up at Higbee's this weekend, going to minister to his leadership tonight. I mean, what we really sometimes don't understand that what God is doing within our midst. And I'm telling you, as we work through and the process and come into more agreement, we are going to start seeing the supernatural side of the kingdom. Ephesians chapter 4, 1 through 7. "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a worthy manner of the calling to which you have been called. With all humility and gentleness, with patience." Humility is the vehicle to operate in the spirit. "Gentleness with patience, bearing with one another in love," bearing with one another in love, "eager to maintain the unity of the spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift." Humility, gentleness with patience. Okay, Lord, I agree. When you walk in humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing one another's burden in love, love will cover your doctrinal issues. Love will cover a multitude of sins, weaknesses, faults, immaturities. We're not going to have agreement without it. Psalms 133, 1 through 3. "Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It's like the precious oil on the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessings, life forevermore." You will never come into unity without agreement. We will never come into unity without agreement. When agreement ends, submission must begin. Power of agreement with God and His Word, His Spirit, Jesus, and truth principles. I'm coming into agreement. In marriage, the two becoming one has to have some agreement. Family, both natural and spiritually, both close and far. I don't know if I've ever preached this in years. I probably should. I need to come into agreement with my friendships. There's confidence, constituents, and comrades. Within this body, you have confidence, confidants. Ones, you know the difference between the three? A constituent, a comrade, and a confidant. A comrade is somebody who loves Jesus, and they come once in a while. Now, I had a situation where we had a common enemy, and I was going to get my butt handed to me. I would call him up and say, hey, bro, I need some prayer. I need this. And this common enemy we have, I can't win without you. They'll show up. They're comrades. But they love the battle more than they love me. You all have these people. Then you have constituents. Constituent is connected to me, Identity Church, because they have some gifting, have some calling, and they need some training. And they won't be successful without at least coming through this portion of relationship. But they're in it for what they can get and what they can bring. And the problem is you need to have a lot of constituents that need what you have, and you need what they have. Because they're in it for the purpose, the mission, both theirs and ours. That's not wrong. But they're in relationship for that reason. God called, God ordained. And it's okay. But then you have a confidant. A confidant is somebody that's in relationship with you because of you. Not what they can get from you, what you can get from them. They're in relationship because God says, this is one of those relationships. You can share your weaknesses, your strengths, your motives, because they're in relationship with you, because of you, not because of what you do, not even your gifting. And you don't have a lot of those guys, but you need a few. That when you share your hidden frustration, they go, that's nice. You're just wrong. I don't take your wrong from a constituent who won't be here in the long run. But I'll take wrong for somebody who's in relationship with me because they love me. So when you have the protocol of a comrade or constituent and you say something and think they're confident and they're not, that's when they get mad and leave. Because you've misrepresented the relationship, then the agreement is broken. Because not everybody can hear the truth, even if it's done in love. One of my spiritual sons is a little mad at me right now. Because he's an idiot. And he's been an idiot. Then he had a revelation that he was an idiot. He repented. And then he comes to me and goes, how did you know this? Yeah, I've known that for a long time. Why didn't you tell me? Because you would have run. But since God told you, let's walk together. Listen, some of the things God's dealing with me, I'm like irritated with him. Why didn't you just say something? I would have done this. He said, well, then you wouldn't have brought people with you through the journey. Now you can say, listen, 25 years later, don't do that. Let me help you out. You are a dummy. And don't be like your daddy. I'm done. Sure.
Talk a minute about this angel of supply. I think he sent out a scouting party because I've been watching the finances for a little over a year now very closely. And last year, if something like what happened last month would have happened, we would have not paid Charlie. We would have gone in the hole and we would have paid the rent late. And we wouldn't have liked it, but we would have said, well, that's how we do things. So beginning of this year, we had an extra supply. And we saved it. And along with this conference and the idea of coming into agreement, Charlie laid it before the elders first. We chewed on it for a little bit, and we came into agreement with him before you were even told about it. Mm. So we have a little bit of agreement. We need, part of what he's talking about today is we need more agreement. Okay, that's where we're at right now. We're in that transition right now. So in the months of January, February, and March, financially, we were running about $1,500 surplus. We got to the end of every month, and we had $1,500 extra. And I had been saving money for the nest for this conference. I've been tithing every offering. We've been tithing to the to an account, and it's in the savings account, just a little fund. We call it a fund. It's just on a spreadsheet. And we have money for the building fund. There's $1,500 saved up for missions right now. There was $3,000. I called it my rainy day fund. It was just savings. It didn't have a name with it. So in the month of April, we made the decision to bring Michael on staff. I can tell you, every time we have made a decision to bring someone on staff or give someone a raise, we get tested. And it's usually that month or the next month we're like, why did we do this? Now we don't have any money. So we get to the end of April, and Susie says, can I pay the rent? And I'm like, I'm not sure. Let me look. Now, in the last 3 months, I would have just said, yeah, pay the rent. No, we didn't have the money. And we haven't even given Michael a paycheck yet. It had nothing to do with that. You know, it's a test. But I had $3,000 in savings. I moved $2,000 checking. We only need 1,000 of it, by the way. I just left 1,000 so we could pay some bills when they come in. And we're fine. So I do say this. The angel of supply is in the midst. He may not be where you would like him to be, but we just went through a bump in the road, and we're on track. Now, I'll replenish that money. I'll put it back slowly over time and get that back up to where it was. So keep giving, part of the message is, but know that God is in the midst of this. So when the numbers look like they're dwindling a little bit, which they do, just pray some more and keep doing what you're doing. And if you're not here one weekend and you normally give weekly, please give even when you're not here. But also know there are times you go through things and you needed that money. So the angel of supply is kind of visiting us, but I don't think he's living here yet.
I want him to live here. Listen, listen, for the angel of supply to live here, he has to be influencing every one of your finances. But see, it's not just about money. Because, listen, what I shared with him is that supply works extremely well in relationship with faith and wisdom. Supply is not independent. So he'll bring wisdom, management wisdom, wisdom to increase. And as these things happen to the corporately, it has to happen individually. Otherwise, it's falsehood. So we have to come into agreement that we want to be in enough agreement corporately to be blessed personally. Yes. If you don't agree with that, we're in trouble. But I want to be blessed corporately, which means I need to be blessed privately, personally. And so I really believe this agreement thing is, I mean, it's the key to it. Well, he told me flat out, there just isn't enough agreement to have an assignment of a supply. So that's why we're preaching what we're preaching today. Do we agree? Yeah. I think you have something.
I have to get to know this thing. When Pastor Charlie was talking and sharing about Ephesians chapter 4, I had turned my Bible immediately to Psalms 133 before Hugh got there.
Well, we've kind of been doing that all morning.
Right. And I just really believe the Lord asked me to pray over the house. I want everybody to close your eyes. He gave us a beautiful imagination. I want you just to imagine that you are in the mountains of Hermon. It's a quiet place. It's a beautiful place. That your spirits and your soul and your body is just captivated by the beauty of God. And this is our Father speaking to us. And I want you to really marinate on every word. He's saying, behold. I mean, this is something, when we behold something, it takes our breath away. He says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity.
Come on.
Just think about that. I don't know if any of you have gone and witnessed a beautiful orchestra playing, but I have. My son was a violinist. The precision of each person to articulate the notes on the paper in front of them is astounding when we all are together. The Lord loves worship, and I don't think it was an accident that David used this as an example.
Mm. Yes, Lord.
He was a psalmist. He knew the power of unity in worship. So for us to dwell together in unity, this is a beautiful thing. We are like sympathetic strings, which means the string that's next to the one on my left or my right harmonizes while the other one is playing the note, even though no one is strumming it. That's the unity that I believe the Lord is looking, because it flows like the oil. How many of us use oil for cooking, or we use oil for anointing? It has viscosity. That's what he's looking for, is the viscosity that as we blend our oils together, it becomes richer, it becomes fuller. The aroma is so intoxicating. I believe that is what the Lord is looking for, us to understand how beautiful this is. He calls running down the beard of Aaron. This is I think about the importance of the position that he has placed Pastor Charlie in this house. I want everything as an individual, as a woman, as a attender of Identity Church, I want every gift this man has to offer us. He has wisdom in life. He has wisdom in finances. He has counsel, the counsel of heaven that he's received through every circumstance he has walked through in his life. This man is a treasure. And if the Lord is going to pour his oil from heaven over this man and allow it to run down even to the beard and his garments, then that is something I want, because I know that it comes from heaven. Recognizing the authority in our lives spiritually is an ultimate blessing to press into the leadership that God has placed over us. Look at the life of Christ. He pressed into his leadership, his Father, and look what he produced. He produced heaven's fruit. Just think about the dew of Hermon descending on the mountains of Zion. This is, you know, in the morning when you go outside and the dew is on the grass, it's just what it needs. We need the dew of heaven to kiss us, to refresh us, to restore us. And what God is saying here is when we come into this beautiful place of unity, recognizing the blessing of leadership, recognizing the blessing of my neighbor, the one who sits next to me, blessing the blessings of integrated relationships like Pastor Charlie has just spoken, it amazes me that God stands up. He stands up and he commands the blessing. I mean, that takes power. That takes authority. That takes incredible integrity. And that's what he wants for us, each of us, like Pastor said, individually and as a community of believers in this county, in this town. We want life forevermore. We want the fruit of this word specifically. We want heaven on earth. And so, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for breathing life into it for each of us as individuals and as a corporate body, that you breathe your life into it, that heaven's gate opens up, and this oil of joy and gladness that David experienced becomes ours. And this beautiful representation of the priesthood of your kingdom comes, and we participate in these blessings. We participate and we receive these commanded blessings from heaven. And we thank you, Lord, that you have assigned an angel of supply who has many angels under him. And Lord, we receive it however it comes. We receive it for this house, for your purpose in this house, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Am I still on? You got me on there. Genesis chapter 11, the story of the Tower of Babel. They spoke one language. The problem is their plan was not a godly plan. So God had to confuse their communication so he could distort their agreement. Friday night, I came here and I prayed. And I prayed over every seat in this place, even those extra ones over there. I flew a prophetic banner. You would start hearing the word of the Lord. That the prophetic in every seat would minister to you. Not just from me or another prophet, but God. Because when you hear some, when you hear the communication of God and then you come into agreement with it, you'll find your rightful place. I'm not going to have to wrestle with you and shape you and mold you. God will do all that. He just needs you to say, I agree. So just say that. I agree. We're going to become one language. His language. And I choose to agree. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You can also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read the Bible, take notes, connect with us on social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into Identity Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Have a blessed day.